speaker is going to be Jean E.
Hi, family. I'm Jean. I'm an addict.
Hi, Jean.
Let's take a moment, please. I ask of you to say the serenity prayer. Very nervous. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. I'm very nervous, and today I know that's okay. You know, first, I want to begin by thanking the program committee for asking me to be of service. It's only through God's grace and you people why I'm here. And the God of my understanding, you know. When Teresa called and asked me to do a workshop, she gave me another title at first, and I couldn't make it at the time slot for that title. And she said, oh, I know another one. This is a good one for you. What about overcoming perfection? I said, oh, no, I can't do that. She said, so what, you're perfect now? You know, and immediately, What happened, I realized that I went straight into denial, you know. And normally, that's how I begin my process. I always go straight into denial, you know. It doesn't apply. That's not me. I can't be wrong. I can't be this or that. And then I get real, you know. And I said, okay, I'll show up, and I'll trust that God will use me as a vessel. And that's what I've prayed and asked him to do. You know, when I think of that title, and the reason why I denied it, that no, I can't do that. I can't do this. Not this topic. Because the first feelings that hit was shame and guilt. You know, feeling inferior. And that's what happens to me when I get in that perfectionist mode. Overcoming perfection, I realize, is a lifelong process. It's a never-ending process. And I thank God for you people in Narcotics Anonymous because y'all have allowed me to come and just be who I am and work through this process. And this process began for me when I took my last hit, my last high, on September 9th, 1990. You know, and it's been very progressive for me. Recovery is progressive. What I know, the steps are not going to make me perfect. I will never be perfect. But what I can do is strive for progress instead of perfection. And that's what it's been about for me, just getting better one step at a time, a little at a time, through the grace of God and you people, through a sponsor, through a network of people. I thank God for my network. Because they're here today, you know, the support and love. I didn't get that out in the street. See, I'm this addict that started using 8 years old. I started drinking white rum. And when I drank to get drunk. And I would climb up onto the bed, and I would go to sleep. I didn't go to sleep. I passed out. That's what really happened. I'd climb up onto the bed and pass out because I was afraid. I was afraid and didn't know how to say I'm afraid of being home by myself. I'm the addict that would strive to impress my mother. All I wanted to hear her say was, I love you. All I wanted her to do was to accept me. But see, I couldn't ask her for those things because I didn't know how to. You know, since Teresa asked me to do this, the thoughts that have came through my mind, I remember just being a little girl, and my chore was cleaning the bathroom. And I remember getting in, you know, cleaning over that tub and trying to clean this bathtub. And no matter how hard I tried, it just seemed like it was never good enough for her. It was just never good enough for her. And I would continue to try to make it better. All I wanted her to say was okay. You know, but no matter what, it just didn't seem enough for her. And I wanted to impress her. You know, and I took those feelings of the rejection and not feeling good enough and not feeling worthy of her love. And I shoved it, and I shoved it, and I put the drink on top of it. Then I put the drugs on top of it. And by the time I was 25, I ended up in Narcotics Anonymous. And when I got here, I bought everything. You know, I came with a bunch of issues. You know, when I got here, the first thing I was telling y'all, you know, my father molested me, my mother abandoned me, my man is whipping my ass, and you know what? I just want to kill. I had the desire to kill just as bad as I had the desire to use. And I had to pray and ask God to remove the obsession and the compulsion for both, because I know that because I'm clean today, nobody gives a darn. If I act out on my feelings, I could lose my freedom clean. And it's the same thing I got to remind myself of today. You know, it's just a continuing thing, you know, just to know that just for today, I have to do the best I can. I have to give it my best, you know, not pick myself apart when I fall short. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm human. It's a natural part of the process. For the day, I'm just learning how to laugh at me sometimes, you know, instead of being so critical in this. And, when I think of being a perfectionist, trying to be a perfectionist, all that is to mask the fear, the insecurities, the low self-esteem, the low self-worth, you know, the rejection, and all that other stuff. You know, I have had people in my network that says, Gene, you're trying to be perfect. You're paying your bills on time, and you're doing this and that. You know, I came here with messed up credit. And I did the necessary work and did the necessary things y'all told me to do to get that back in order. Didn't learn nothing and messed up my credit again. And then I had to do the necessary work one more time to get decent credit. I know the pain and the consequences of having bad credit. And I know the benefits of having good credit. That's not being a perfectionist. That's being real. That's reality. That is reality for me. At times, I find myself in a place where I'm just trying to do my best. And I keep falling short. And a lot of times I have to reach out and call my sponsor or somebody else and say, you know what? This is right where I am, right now. And all I can do is surrender right here and accept this is my best. Some days my best is not that great. I had one last week. I was off the hook. You know, I was at work and I've been on my job. I've worked for the same company 12 years, and I've been in the same department 6 years. And I could tell you in the time I've been there, I think I may have had 5-6 disputes or conflicts with people. Normally, blow off. I'm here to get a paycheck and to do my job. But this past week, it's like, hell no. Everything is on. You know, my director asked me to do something that was unethical to me, and I lost. That was it. That started the ball rolling. And he couldn't understand when I said no. And I found myself angry, raging. My attitude got real funky. And the best I could do was to focus on why I was there. Why am I here? And I was able to get through. A day or so later, we're going through an audit, and someone called and told, Gene, the IRS auditors are here, and we need this. All right, no problem. I'll do my best to try to help. But when I got a couple called back, Gene, did you do the work? I got pissed all over again. And it's like, what the hell you think I am? You know, and I had to go to my director and say, you know what? I've done my best. That's it. You can't get nothing else. That is it. There's nothing else to give. And to accept that and to know that's it. That was the ending right there. Didn't have to go any further. And it was gone. I let it go. You know, I know when I got here, I used to ask people, how you let it go? How you turn it loose? How you surrender to this? And today I know when I've done my best, that's it. I give it to God. I give it to God. God, you got this. I don't. This is it. And I pray, and I do the necessary work. I talked about my feelings. And I'm the addict that when I want to use or I want to act out, I'm not going to pray. And I was in that mood. I'm not praying. Somebody ass needs to feel like I feel right now. And thank God for a network, because somebody called us like, Gene, you all right? It's like, no, I'm not all right. It's like, have you tried praying? It's like, no, I'm not praying. And next, I got an email. And as I opened the email started with a prayer. And as I started reading the prayer, that was how. That got me to the place where I was able to submit and just pray and ask God to help me, guide me, and to remove those feelings, the feelings of anger. Once I can accept where I am at any given moment, practice some humility, accepting myself in the moment, knowing that I'm not all good and I'm not all bad. I'm under construction. God's not finished with me yet. Once I could accept that, I could let it go. You know, and be all right to know that no matter what the outcome is, it's all right. Once I could do that, and it's, you know, I'm talking about going from step one, acknowledging and accepting there is a problem. It is a problem when I want to beat myself down for not being perfect, for falling short, for going off on the job. It is a problem when I want to beat myself up for that. I'm human. It's natural. Natural emotion. You know, when I could accept that, and practice some patience and tolerance, when I could practice some faith to know that the outcome's going to far exceed any of my expectations, and know that God is in charge and he makes no mistakes. I make mistakes. He makes none. And be able to make the decision to let it go. One of the things, you know, I'm in a step study group with my sponsor and my grand sponsor, and recently I was sharing with him some things that, for me, when I'm doing things that's outside of me, when I'm doing the job, when I'm doing service, when I'm doing some things that doesn't involve me to really commit or to really when I'm not emotional, you know, it's not all caught up into my emotions and stuff, I do pretty good at those things. But when it comes to the emotional stuff, I struggle. I struggle. And it's painful. Over the last several years that I've been working with my sponsor and grand sponsor, that's really the area that I've been working on the most, or working, they've helped me with the most. The external things come a lot easier than the internal things for me. Being vulnerable. Letting somebody get to know me in the raw. See all my character defects. I'm fine when I could do the stuff from outside and project this image here, look at this. When you got to tap inside and see the fragile little child, the little girl that don't know a whole lot of things and got a whole lot of questions. How you do this? How you do that? When I got here, I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to do a whole lot of things, and I'm still learning a lot of things. And I had to come and tell y'all, I don't know. Eight-year-old drunks don't learn that. Eight-year-old addicts don't learn those things. You know, and be willing to accept the help. Because, see, I struggled with that in the beginning. I asked you for help in a minute. But was I willing to accept it? That's where the struggle came in. Because if you told me, Gene, do this and that, and it required me to be vulnerable, it required me to my defects to be exposed, I'm ready to run. The minute I fall short, I'm ready to run. And what I'm learning is that when I put unreal expectations on me, I'm going to put unreal expectations on you. I'm learning that I can set healthy boundaries today, not of me and of others. You know, to be able to share with somebody where I'm at. Let somebody know where my boundary lines are. Because, see, some days I want to sit here and act like someone did something to me. I'm a victim. An ignorant person can't be considerate. If I don't tell you where I am and who I am and accept this is where I am and who I am, then you can't be considerate. Thank God for the people in my life that's able to share with me what they see, because a lot of times I don't see myself as how other people see me. Thank God for the unconditional love that I get from you people in this fellowship. It's a struggle most days to live comfortable in my skin. And I know I don't fit as well in anybody else's. And for me, it's just staying in this process and knowing that I'm not where I was back in 1990. I'm not where I was a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And know that, looking at the evidence, and know that I will continue to get better as long as I don't use, as long as I continue to pray and to trust in my higher power, as long as I continue to take guidance from my sponsor and other people in this fellowship, accept the help, practice these principles in all my affairs. Not just say the words, but learn to practice the principles in all my affairs. Again, what I've come to realize, the step's not going to make me perfect. But what they will do is help me to accept responsibility for my actions. What it will do is allow me to accept I'm human, I'm going to make mistakes. What it will allow me to do is to see the patterns of my behavior. You know, why when I look and somebody's in my face, it's like, how you get here? Well, Gene, you ain't let them know the boundary line was there. They're doing what they do. You know, continue to allow me to work on just accepting me as I am in the moment, knowing that every day is not a good day, but any day that I'm clean, I've had a successful day. Any day I don't use, I've had a successful day, and I stand a chance of getting better. I don't know. Recovery has been awesome. It's been painful, too, because, as I said, I came here with a whole bunch of issues, and just trying to be patient and know that I didn't get this way overnight, and I'm not going to recover overnight. It's a process. And trusting in the process. Some days I hear it and it's like, shh, yeah, that again. There's no magic pill. Some days I don't want to practice patience. Some days I don't want to practice tolerance. Some days I don't want to practice acceptance. And you know what? When I don't, what happens is I become frustrated, I become rigid, I become talking out the side of my neck and acting like a nut, which is, for me, is not using the steps. You know, I was downstairs earlier listening to somebody share, and somebody mentioned that Joe was also doing this meeting, and immediately my insecurities kicked up, and my inferiority is like, I love to hear Joe share. He's funny, he's witty, and all that. And my insecurities truly kicked up. And immediately the next door came was something I heard a woman say back in 1991. And I remember sitting in a meeting and hearing this young lady share, you know, anytime you compare yourself against somebody else, you're going to come up short. Either you're going to feel better than or you're going to feel less than. And just that thought alone centered me to know that all I need to do is get out of the way and trust, and God will use me as a vessel. If I come in here with my own agenda, Lord knows, you know. And with that, it didn't stop the feelings, the fear and the insecurity, but I knew all I had to do was to show up. That's all I needed to do, was to show up and share my strength, experience, and hope. Today I know my mother and I, we have done some work here, you know, through God and you people. My mother could say, I love you today. I could say I love her today. I'm not coming in here calling her any bees and talking about I want to slit her throat. Because, see, that's how I got here. When I got here, I was telling y'all, I just want to slit her throat. It's not like that today. It's not like that today. My mother used to always tell me, Gene, just keep doing things your way. Keep doing it wrong. You still need to go to those meetings. And all I need to say to her, remember the person used to tell you, get the fuck out? She will be back if I stop going to these meetings. She said, oh, go to the meetings. Have a good time. You know, and I know that for me. I've celebrated 13 anniversaries, and my mother have not attended one because she says she can't accept I'm an addict. But you know what? I accept I'm an addict, and I continue to show up for those. I had to come in here and tell y'all, I didn't know how to be a parent. I was abusing my daughter. And to trust the guidance of the women and the men, because there were some men here that truly helped me to become a better mother. I had to come and tell y'all, I didn't stay on a job more than a couple of years before when Angry Gene showed up, I started running, you know. Today, it's not like that. I have some consistency in my life. Some days, you know, some people in my network may say, Gene, you're orderly. You're orderly. You know what? Sometimes I start feeling insecure, or I start, the shame and the guilt will kick up. What I know today, though, that works for me. It's necessary. It's part of my manageability. Because when I got here, I was so unmanageable, and I'm still unmanageable with time. I do a lot. I'm in service. I sponsor people. I go to meetings on a regular basis. I'm a parent and all that. And with the amount of things that's on my plate, I need order in order to maintain some kind of manageability in my life. I need order. I don't know what works for the next person. I try to learn what works for me. I don't like the stress of when my life is unmanageable. I don't like to hear the rejection when I mess up my credit and go to apply for something and somebody tell me no. I don't like it. I don't know, just for today, I'm showing up, I'm trying to do the best I can and to accept my best in the moment. Knowing that I'm going to fall short, pick myself up, brush myself off, talk about my feelings, pray to the God of my understanding, and trust you people that if I continue to show up and continue to do necessary work, life will continue to get better. So thank you for letting me share.
Our next speaker is going to be Joe S.
Hi, family. I'm Joe. I'm an addict.
Hey, Joe. First, I want to thank God that one day he heard my cry.
and lifted me out of a horrible pit. And I want to thank Narcotics Anonymous for being here with open arms and just lovingly accepting me when nobody else wanted any parts of it. I'd like to thank the Tri-County Area Host Committee of CPRCNA for asking me to come and share on this workshop. And I thank every one of you that's walked this journey with me for the past 10 years, 2 months, and 5 days. There have been days when we could only walk hand in hand praying. There have been days when your head was on my shoulder. There have been days when my face was tear-stained and my head was on your shoulder. And there have been days when both of us were clueless, but we've never been left hopeless. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I remember when I sat in 42 North, which, for those of you who don't know, no longer really exists, because when they closed DC General, they kicked all the addicts out of the psychiatric detoxification unit, and that's what 42 North was. You see, I went to the regular detox unit like everybody else did, and they did let me in the door. I'll give them credit for that. And they sat me down for about 10 or 15 minutes. And it became readily apparent the longer we sat there, the less they were interested. And they finally said, take this slip of paper and go over to the main building and go up to the fourth floor and give it to whomever answers the door. And they will make an appointment for you. And they started to use words like chronic and hardcore. And they stopped using addict and they were using things like substance abuser. And they didn't really say that I was emotionally unstable, but it probably didn't take a very close look to see that. And one knows when one is emotionally unstable that somewhere else in the realm of the mentality there have to be some grievous challenges. But that was all in their mind's eye. Because in my mind's eye, that of an addict, if you people would just leave me alone and get some business, I will be all right. Forgive me for smoking crack in your backyard and sitting on your porch holding forth court in the middle of the night with all of the drag queens and prostitutes and whatever other comers might happen by. Pardon me for sitting on the trash can waving at cars as they went by. I did not mean to sell all of your puppies. But they were so damn cute. And I want you to rest assured that as they went, the price went up. And they were all sold to good homes. One of them's around there in the alley now by the fire barrel. That was my thinking. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, the first step told me that I had a life-threatening condition. And it was a dilemma of such gravity that no human power could possibly relieve me of this. Y'all told me God could and would if he were so. And I said, okay. And then in the second step, you told me that I didn't have to do this alone, that there was a chance, howbeit remote, that I might possibly be restored to sanity. An old friend who had long since departed without sending a card or a letter or a call at Christmas, anything. But y'all said there was a chance. But what you reminded me then was that you need to find a spiritual solution for this, a spiritual dilemma. Do not try to fix it with a feeling, and don't you dare try to take something as simple or as simplistic or as obnoxious or as egotistical as a material thing and think you can dress this up. Because, you know, a whole lot of folks like to think that cross-dressing is sexual, but I would have you to know that it's a lot of mental cross-dressers sitting in this room tonight. It's a whole lot of us sitting in here looking like one thing and dressed like one thing when in reality we're something totally different. Some of us got on shit we don't even know what it represents, but because we saw somebody else with it and it looked glittery and glowing on them, we tied it on our sunglasses. But I'm just sharing my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not talking about any of you. Don't make that error. Because, see, when I came along, every time you said something to me, and look, let me tell you something, from the time I was about 6 years old, I started wearing the shit you said to me and about me. And I started living down to your opinion rather than up to my God-given potential. When you told me that I was just a little black hoodlum, would never be any damn thing, would be dead and in hell by the time I was 21, I made up my mind I was going to raise hell till I got to hell. And I was going to do it as thoroughly as I possibly could. And I did not research serenity, I researched calamity. After all, I wasn't interested in peace, I was going to raise hell. And that's because I did what a child does. I believed what you told me. And I applied it. And then you got angry at me. Now, one of us a damn fool. But what I went on to do, though, y'all, was carry that baggage. And it was like going on a trip. I would go on this trip, and I would visit some luxurious place, and I would have a grand old time. And I would come home, and instead of washing the dirty laundry in the suitcase, I'd just throw it in the closet. When I got ready for another journey, I just reached in the closet and got the same old baggage and with the same old dirty laundry and took it with me right into the next relationship. And then I began to wonder why none of them worked. And I began to wonder why you didn't understand me. Because after all, the problem had to lie with you, not with me. There was nothing wrong with me. You just don't seem to understand. You don't get it, do you? And so then by the time when I was about 10 years old, I got molested. Oh, my God. Whoo, talk about adding grief to the baggage. I needed my own livery man when I started on a trip. Then I had so much baggage to carry, somebody had to handle it. And they did send somebody. They were called psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, caseworkers, social workers, nurses, you know. They started to send them all. They really started to send them all when I think I was about 11. And this white man called me a nigger one day because I was riding this stolen bicycle around his parking lot of his motel, disturbing all his nice little white guests. And he called me a nigger, and I burned his motel down about 2 o'clock in the morning. But it was nothing wrong with my thinking. He should never have called me that nigger. He gave me license to burn that damn motel down. And you know what one of my favorite things always was and sometimes still is? I do some shit and sit back and say, oh my goodness, that's awful. Ha! Who would do such a thing? That is just terrible. I cannot believe it. But you know, perfection is a vicious cycle. And when you look up that word perfectionism, it talks about something being unique. Then it talks about flawless. Oh, I love that word, flawless. How many of us would like to look in the mirror in the morning and have flawless skin? Huh? How many of us would like to rise up to the level and look God dead in the eye and present him with a flawless spirit? How many of us would like to come into Narcotics Anonymous a virgin? You want to talk about unique? That would be a new one. But mind you, my addict thinking that you addressed to my attention in the second step brought me face to face with all of these things, because every time you wanted to tell me the truth, I wanted to believe the things that got me here. And the literature said that I had become comfortable in my old familiar suffering. I was not willing to take a chance on something new because I wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, because after all, I'm the one who came up with this very non-original idea. And I come to tell you that when I stood up this evening and said, "Hi, family, I'm Joe, I'm an addict," if you think you got an original behavior, if you think you got an original idea, when I said I'm an addict, it covers the whole spectrum. You ain't doing nothing new. Been there, done that, got a t-shirt. It says, "Simplicity is the key. Get real and keep it real." The truth of the matter is that this is a really interesting and intriguing topic. And it presents for most of us a most difficult, if not impossible, moral dilemma. However in the hell are you going to overcome perfection when you ain't never been perfect? The third step told me there was a God who knew me well enough, cared about me greatly enough, had compassion and power enough, that he would meet me at my point of need, no matter how desperate or destitute it was. That's why on February 11, 1994, when he visited me at my place of residence, man, y'all laughing like I didn't have an address or something. I had an address. It was 900 M Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code was 2001. Alleyside. Second milk crate down from the Firebird. I ain't want to get too close to that fire, but that thing used to get hot. But you know, the fourth step said, "Joe, take a look at yourself. You're going to be amazed at what you find. And don't look at it one-sided," because you know what? Y'all taught me from the very beginning that I should incorporate honesty, which was essential for me to be true to myself. It doesn't matter what you tell me. What matters is what I begin to tell me. What matters is the value system that I begin to establish. And that value system is going to be sound, and it's going to be steadfast. It's going to be unmovable. It's going to be rock solid when it's built. on a foundation that incorporates honesty first. And then you told me that I needed to become open-minded because only a teachable spirit can grow. And that if I become stagnant in my thinking, it's because I become stagnant in my behavior. Rather than abstain from that self-destructive behavior, I have chosen. See, it ain't old behavior if you're still doing it. You know? And for those of you that's planning on sleeping with somebody you don't know at the convention tonight, that ain't old behavior. It's Karen, and it's as deadly and as dangerous tonight as it was any other time. Then y'all told me I need to become willing. Willingness will open the door for me anytime self-will slams it shut. And that's the pathway, if you will, the archway through which I can pass to freedom. The freedom to look at myself in the fourth step. I wrote something in the back of this book, It Works How and Why. And it says humility. An honest and realistic acceptance and appreciation of ourselves. Believing God makes no mistakes or junk. And having a healthy respect and gratitude for being neither an error nor a wasted life. In step 7 in the book It Works How and Why, it says when we ask our higher power to remove these shortcomings, we ask for freedom from anything which limits our recovery. We ask for help because we cannot do it alone. Through working the previous steps, we see that attaining humility, it's necessary if we're going to live a clean life and walk a spiritual path. An attitude of humility is not the same as humiliation, nor is it a denial of our good qualities. On the contrary, an attitude of humility means that we have a realistic view of ourselves and our place in the world. In the seventh step, humility means understanding our role in our own recovery, appreciating our strengths and limitations, and having faith in a power greater than ourselves. Humbly asking for the removal of our shortcomings means we are giving complete license to that loving power to work in our lives, believing that God's wisdom far exceeds our own. And I will submit to you, real respectfully, that while we may not be perfect, we have been given a perfect gift. While we may not be perfect, we have been given perfect opportunities. While we may not be perfect, we have been given the grand old time of being able to know perfect love. While we may not be perfect, we have a perfect God that loves imperfect creatures. While we may never, ever attain perfection, we have a perfect opportunity to carry a perfect message to an addict who still suffers. And they may be sitting next to you tonight. You never know. You got to be real careful how you live, because sometimes in our walk down this journey that we call recovery, there is somebody that needs to see us go through something and keep our hands up in order for them to believe that they can. And when your imperfect ass is able to take a perfect walk and show somebody else that you're willing to go through to get to, then damn it, you've overcome perfectionism. Because it's just a matter of coming in here, y'all, and getting real. It ain't what you wear. It's not how intellectual you are. It don't matter whether you're old or young, black or white, rich or poor, fat or skinny. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter whether you're still in treatment or you got 20 years clean. Are you willing to go to any length to recover and to help another addict to stay clean? That is what overcoming perfection is. It doesn't mean putting on the same old show. We've seen this shit time and time again. That's why they added a 12 step. So we can go get them perfect folks. That's exactly why they added a 12 step. So that we can practice these principles in all our affairs. Without shame. Without compromise. Without apology. If you don't like my recovery, I would humbly submit to you that you ought to get some. If you don't think my clean date is important, keep the same one for a while. I'm not perfect. I'm good. May West say it. When I'm good, I'm really good. And even when I'm bad, I'm pretty damn good. But see, y'all, I didn't have any of this. Gene talked about the wit and the wisdom. God, if y'all could talk to some of the people that used with me, they would say, who? Wit. He knew how to take your shit. Wisdom. He come back with something, but you wouldn't know what it was. But y'all gave this to me. Because y'all told me to acknowledge myself. And then you told me to go ahead and start to take a look and to accept myself without condition. And one day what happened was I started to minutely appreciate myself. And then I began to approve of myself. And I looked up before very long, and I really, really appreciated myself to the point of adoration. And I came to understand and know then that this is a program where we're given the freedom of choice and not a choice of freedoms. I came to understand that this is a program where we live and behave ourselves into a new way of thinking, and we do not think our way into new behavior. That we practice these principles in all our affairs, and ultimately they will become our affairs. That is how we overcome perfectionism. That is how we overcome some of the cruelest dilemmas that we recover within and without these walls, because there are still folks who want to hold us hostage with our history. I want you to hold your head up and look anybody in the eye that you encounter anywhere on your wall and let them know by the grace of God, I am who I am. I am what I am. And I make no apologies. I don't regret my past, neither do I choose to repeat it. And when you're tired of wallowing in the muck, when you're tired of bottom feeding, when jails, institutions, dereliction, and death no longer is attractive to you, I would invite you to overcome your perfectionism and walk this serene journey with me.
Hi, group. My name's Cecilia, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Cecilia.
I'd like to take the time out to thank Gene and Joe for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And this is a time we have about a good 10 minutes or 12 minutes. It's open mic. If you want to come up and share, please feel free to do so. Okay, if no one wants to come up to the mic and share, we can close this meeting with the Serenity Prayer.